people and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanjore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
It's Shift and Steer, and Matt, I've got some really big news.
Okay.
The big news is that all three of us are on the first show of 2018.
Wow.
And I'm here, Brad Fanshaw. You're here.
Yeah, I'm Matt DeAndrea.
And on the other end of the line is Double A Ron, Aaron Hagar.
Coughing Aaron.
Yes.
Is trying to get over this flu, Aaron. Boy, the world has the flu right now, let me tell you.
Yeah, don't give it to us. Don't cough into the mic. We'll get it. So,
well, if I cough hard enough, I might project it through the phone. You might feel it.
Hey, you know what? I want to say that you know, we've been getting a lot more interaction from our listeners and fans, and we really appreciate that, because you know how I know is because we've been getting comments on Instagram and on Facebook and like that, and they've been saying things like, you know, we'll tell Double A Ron, and then and then there was references to, yeah, well, Matt's using the F word again, and so I was like, okay, these people are listening, they're engaging, I like that. So
yeah, oh man, we did a CarCast episode this past week, and we had Craig Jackson on, did a little bit of, you know, a little Scottsdale preview.
Did he come in or did he call in?
No, he called it.
Okay,
he called it.
I was going to say, to get him to come over auction week, that would be a miracle.
No, we couldn't do it. And he was literally like walking through the tent and checking this and that. And it was great. We try to have him on every year, and I know we do stuff here as well with the Bear Jackson guys, and go out there every year. I know we're excited about we Brad and I talked about it last week, Aaron, about going out there to Bear Jackson and then RM and Gooding and stuff. So Craig Jackson calls, and Adam says, give us a little preview of what we've got in store for Scottsdale. And he goes, we've got an amazing collection, no lie, Fox Body Mustangs. We got Richard Rawlings' friend. And I was like, yes.
You set that up. Don't give us this.
I did not bring it up at all.
You know why? It's because Craig listens to Shift and Steer.
He brought it up, and Adam was like, this interview is over.
Yeah, exactly.
Adam's like, yeah, what else you got?
No, we meant good stuff, Craig. I mean, come on, not that stuff.
I know we made him talk about all the other junk that they're selling over there, but
they got a brand new tent. It's
like 1.1 million square feet.
It's huge, yeah.
That's like SEMA. SEMA's like 1.1 million, 1.2 million under roof.
Well, their old tent, when they put that one up years ago, it was the largest free span tent, you know, because those tents, the way they have the beams, they have no poles in them. So it was the largest free span tent ever made. And end to end, it was a half mile long, because the vendor area is a quarter mile long. The other one was a quarter mile long. I mean, that's gigantic, you know. I mean, that's
huge.
Yeah, it's and when you see it empty, like if you go over there for Good Guys or something, and you see it empty, it looks so massive. I mean, it looks big when the stage is in there, but when you start filling it up with stands and everything, it kind of gets smaller. But
they did a promo a while back, and they had like Von Gittin drift in there.
Oh, really?
Before they moved everything in.
Yeah.
He was just like drifting. He was like, it was super easy because there was so much room. There's not even that much drifting at Irvine or Irwindale. You know, he's like, it's not that big.
Have you seen online, I've seen it, it seems to be like the thing now, guys that are drifting like inside their shops.
Yes.
And like doing donuts and stuff. And I was watching this one guy, he had like a 57 Chevy.
That's not just any guy. That's that's Scrape.
Oh, that was Scrape?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, like, he's got like three Twitter accounts. He's got his, or Instagram accounts. He's got his. He's got like a 55 Chevy account. And then he owns a Black Widow Exhaust.
Right. Exactly.
Know,
he's
a partner in it or
something. Right.
And he's been on the show a couple times. And, you know, but I didn't realize it was him. But no wonder they were saying, yeah, and thanks to Black Widow Exhaust, those things rock.
Yeah,
so now it makes all sense. But I mean, there was barely enough room to do it.
Barely enough. I saw that too, and I was like, what?
Now everybody's jumping on it. I want to see the one where the guy takes some customer's car and he's, woo, blap. You know,
that's inevitable, right?
Yeah, it probably already happened. The guy's in there sanding it right now, going, oh, God, I hope Bill doesn't come over this week. You know what I mean?
It's still going to end up on YouTube.
So, Hey,
yeah, it's so bad when I watch those videos. They stress me out so bad because you're like, oh, there's the wall. Oh, I think he nicked it.
Well, what we're leading up to, Aaron, is that we're thinking that, we need one for shifting stairs. So clear your shop out. Take one of those rat rods and start doing some donuts, man. I mean, come on, you could do it in one of your little minis.
Yeah, you can do it in a snowmobile.
Well, I was going to say, yeah. Maybe I'll do like a in reverse donut in the Mini Cooper.
Exactly.
Drive, reverse, and that way I'll have plenty of room.
Like, I've told you guys the story of my doing donuts in a front wheel drive car, right?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I'll tell you. Since you brought it up, Aaron, because it just flashed in my head. I was at the Grand National Road Show years ago when it used to be up in Oakland, and I think it was the last year it was in Oakland. And I was with a bunch of guys, and we came pulling into the parking lot. It was a Denny's across the street, and we were going to grab some dinner. And it was really late at night, and we had a front-wheel drive rental car. Mm-hmm. And we were talking the whole way there about, you can't do donuts in a front-wheel drive rental car. And I go, you can too. And they're like, no, you can't. I go, you can too, man. And it was, I forget, I think Michael Anthony was with me, and it was a bunch of us. We went up, we flew up for the show. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to show you right now, because this Denny's had a huge parking lot, and the
Wait,
front
were
of
you
it.
In Syracuse?
No, the only right. place for Denny's. They have two Denny's, of them there.
Every restaurant's a Denny's in Syracuse.
Exactly. But they had this huge parking lot, and like, you know, the first four rows of parking was all really well lit, and then it was kind of dark, but it was a huge parking lot.
Yeah.
So I said, here's how you do it. So I tell everybody, lock their door, you know, and I come into that parking lot, and I kind of throw it sideways, and once I got the momentum, I just, like you said, Aaron, backwards, you know, and I got
wait,
it going.
You were in reverse?
Huh? Yeah, I kind of like, you know, went backwards in reverse and then kind of got it going.
Yeah.
And then so we did, you know, five or six donuts, and then came to a stop, and everybody's eyes are like saucers, and I'm like, yeah, pretty exciting, huh? And they're like, no. And I go, what? And I look out my window, and what they had done in this parking lot was chopped off all the extra light poles, and you know these 3-foot-tall, 4-foot-around cement round things that the light poles come out of?
Sure, yeah.
They had the brilliance of painting them flat black, and one of them was an inch from our door where I stopped.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was like everybody's like going, holy crap, and then we start looking, and we we must have missed them by inches because there was two of them, and you could not see them. And so then we're like laughing about that, going, oh, my God, glad I got the insurance, blah, blah, you know. And we come walking in and sitting at the counters of Denny's, which we didn't know on the other side of the Denny's, like 4 highway patrol cars, and they're all sitting in there looking at us like, what the hell? And we come walking in, we're like, ooh, a table, please.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It was one of those great stories, but could have ended in disaster. So, but it was awesome.
They were all amazed you didn't
That's
hit
awesome.
Anything.
They were probably like, what is this fool doing out there? Didn't he see those, you know, light pole embankments and bankments?
Also, they didn't want to ticket you. They're
eating, man.
They're in the middle of a grand slam. They're enjoying
Build their own slam, you know?
Moons over my hammy.
Exactly.
They're enjoying a great,
yes.
delicious meal. Unlimited pancake stack.
Hey, I want to, before we forget, I want to congratulate all of our winners on the Mycanic promotion, the guys that got the sidekick stools. Matt Goebel from Kennewick, Washington.
Oh, I love Matt.
Yeah, he's a good guy, huh? Tammy Carey from Rio Lindo, California.
He's the best.
Wow,
Jeremy Danny. Tate from Omaha, Nebraska.
He's rad. Jeremy's rad.
Wow.
And those guys won. Mycanic has already shipped their stuff out, and I have some good news for you, Matt.
Yeah.
They also sent me a tracking number. Yours is on its way.
Sweet.
And so Matt will be part of the Mycanic Club.
I was just talking about it the other day about somebody. I was like, I need to get one of these. I'm not allowed to participate in our own sweepstakes.
Well, I gave him the whole story about it. I said, I'm really worried because every time Matt comes over to do the show, he kind of is eyeballing the one that I have. And I said, I know one of these times it's going to be gone.
Yeah, Brad, what happened to your mechanic store?
You must have left your back door open or something, man, you know. And his BMW's got it. The trunk won't shut because it's sticking out of it. And so the guy sent me a tracking number, and he goes, here, so that Matt won't steal yours.
Nice. Thank you. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Matt, you're going to love it. It's just the right height. You're going to love it.
You know what I like about it, Aaron, and you probably do too, is that it's made out of metal, man. It's not made out of plastic. Yeah. I mean, it's durable. Yeah. It's nice. Yeah. It's sturdy. And my fat
like
ass on it.
Like an old Tonka truck.
You know, yeah, like an old Tonka truck. There you go.
So, yeah. Aaron, are you going to auctions next week?
Huh?
Aaron, are you going to the auctions next week?
Oh no, I don't think so. I'm still sick. I'm trying to get.
He's sick of auctions, Matt.
That's what I was getting at. Don't come out and get us sick.
Yeah, don't come out and get us sick. You know, we talked on the last show about all the big auctions, so we don't need to drone on again. But it's going to be exciting. And you know what? I'm not staying at the resort this year, Matt.
No.
You know, we talked about it on the last show, and you brought up the suggestion of Airbnb.
Yeah, how'd you do?
Scored.
Yeah.
Scored.
Yeah.
They got a lot of good inventory out
there.
Dude,
so I started reading up, and I found out because I thought, oh, this late, as many auctions and as many people come to town, there won't be anything left. I went on Airbnb. There was so much left. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
There's some sweet pads back there.
I found a 10,000-square-foot mansion on the golf course at the Princess Resort. I didn't get that one, but it was cheap.
I saw that one, too.
It was cheap.
I mean, a water slide and a helicopter pad.
But I did end up scoring a pretty nice pad. It's 6,000 square foot.
Yeah.
It has a pool, a jacuzzi, an outdoor kitchen. It has a six-person home theater with big screen. It has a billiard room.
Nice.
I mean, it's got everything you could want, even though I'm only going to be there like 15 minutes a day, you know. So we're splitting it. Because Michael Anthony and his wife are coming over, and another friend of ours and their wife. So it's got 4 bedrooms, 4.5 baths, and all this stuff. So we're dialed in, and it is a fraction of what we would have paid to stay at the resort.
Is George the dog?
Isn't that crazy?
George the dog is coming. It is pet friendly, by the way.
Wow! Party at Brad's house.
Yeah. So, but no, it's like
George is going to be having fun while you guys are gone.
Exactly. Yeah.
Peeing on that pool table.
He'll be up on it like ripping into it,
jumping in the pool, then getting in someone's bed.
But
well, that's good. So now we have a place to maybe podcast a little bit. While
exactly.
We're out there.
Exactly. And but no, I was amazed because
the hotels were ridiculous.
I've never Airbnb'd, believe it or not.
Swear to go. You're going to get addicted.
I've looked into it for Monterey before, but Monterey didn't have the inventory that Scottsdale has. And what I read an article on some forum that said that a lot of Chinese people came in and bought these beautiful homes just to Airbnb them. And so many of them did it that there is just a ton of inventory. So, like, even when, like, the pro golfing tournament comes into town, there's still plenty. And so, the resorts hate it because we couldn't stay at the resort. We're staying at this house for about half of what the resort was per night.
Yeah.
And and that's with taxes and everything. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, people will catch on eventually, but in the meantime, look, it's one way or the other. It's like if everybody starts Airbnb, and then the hotel prices go down.
Yeah,
right. So you could stay there, which we still like that. And then if the hotels fill up like they are now, then they're being priced.
Hell, what we're gonna do is we're gonna leave Barrett Jackson. We're gonna jump on the hotel shuttle like we always did.
Mm-hmm.
Go back over to the hotel, hang out at the bar. And then at the end of the night, instead of going, all right, night, guys, I'm going to my room, I'm going to go, night, guys, my Uber's here. And we're going to Uber 10 minutes to the house, and we're done.
That's it.
So.
Yeah. Smart. That's what everybody does up here in Tahoe, too. We've got, you know, tons of Airbnbs. And you know, it makes a little challenge for the locals who are trying to rent homes.
There's
not as many available. But the Airbnb market, I mean, it's a satisfying experience. And you're in your own space, and you can cook, and it's great for families and friends and communities like that. You know, you want to commune together and have a great
vacation. It's really a great answer.
You know what? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned it. Maybe I should edit this part out, and because we don't want all the guys to know, they'll all be getting them, and we won't be able to get them now.
Now you know that Brad's got a pimp pad over there. Take some emergency or some vitamin C and meet us out there. You know, stop screwing around.
So
you can share a bed with George the dog.
You know me, I'm a driver.
Yeah, if you leave now, you'll get there in time.
That would be great, but I don't have any beds left because George has his. My mom has one, and because I need somebody there to take care of George during the day. So yeah. My mom's coming over to take care of him.
It's the other way around.
I told her, I said, hey, come on out, relax, and clean the house while we're gone each day. Is that a problem? Yeah. Is that a bad thing?
Just make my bed.
Yeah, do my laundry and, you know, have dinner. We're going to be back at 5:30. Could you have dinner ready? That's not a bad thing, is it?
Terrible.
She gets to watch her shows on the big screen in the movie theater.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, as long as I don't have to sleep on the couch under the clock, I'm good.
Yeah.
My mom has a antique from Germany, this beautiful hand-wound cuckoo clock.
Yeah.
And I'm used to it because I grew up with it. Aaron slept on the couch at my mom's house.
God.
And he the next morning, he get up and he's had these big dark circles. Like, wait, you didn't sleep? He goes, how could I? That damn thing goes off every half hour and the top of every hour. He goes, it's not a cuckoo clock. It's a chime clock.
Yeah,
it goes, dong, at the half hour once. But if it's like at night, like at 10 o'clock, it chimes 10 times. It goes, dong, dong.
I'd sleep right through that thing. Nothing can get me up.
And
that kind of stuff.
And he goes, is she going to have that going again tonight? I go, well, yeah.
It's a clock. It goes all the time, Aaron. Yeah.
And my mom, that is like her thing. She like winds it. She counts how many times to wind it. And what's funny, Aaron, is that there's a winder to keep the clock going and a winder to keep the chime going. So we could have like disabled the chime, but we're
what's
so used to
it. That?
So
you need earplugs.
I will tell you, that was a surreal experience.
But
you can call me Quasimodo at the end of that trip.
Aaron was just
hunched over with one buggy eye, you know.
He was just digging the resort community. He was thinking, you know, hey man, I'm going to retire to one of these places like Brad's mom, you know, where there's all the, you know, the women walking around and the big clubhouse. They're out there doing their water aerobics, and Aaron's like checking them out. I'm going, Aaron, come on, man, you're married. Hey, last weekend, I know you guys missed it, and I squeezed in some time, and Dave Merrick and I, we went out to the Pete Shaporis memory cruise, and named aptly because it was in memory of Pete Shaporis, and it was on the exact one-year anniversary of his passing.
Yeah.
And Peter originally put it together. It was, you know, he basically just said, you know, hey, Brad, I'm calling, you know, and he was just calling a few of Pete's really close friends. Well, then it got out on Facebook and it turned into a massive deal.
Yeah.
And I said to Peter, I said, yeah, man, this thing got so big. I said, think next year and the year after. I said, you're going to be at the fairgrounds at some point. And he goes, please, no. You know, he's like, but it was really cool. They all met up in Glendora and it became kind of like a hot rod cars and coffee. And there was probably a 100 cars there. And then about maybe 30 of them made the trek, about a 40-mile trek out to the Inland Empire to this little roadhouse. I don't know who chose the roadhouse. I have a feeling I know who chose the roadhouse because the Hessian motorcycle gang was part of the cruise.
Yeah.
Because we have another friend who passed away who was really good friends with Pete, was partners with him. He worked for us at Boyd's for a while, which was Bob Bowder, really well-known hot rod builder. He's kind of like the builder's builder, you know, mm-hmm. the guy that, you know, would restore stuff for other builders and things like that. And he passed away shortly after Pete. And so they kind of honored him as well because him and Pete were such great guys. Well, Bob's son is a Hessian motorcycle guy, and so those guys. So it was really cool because there was all these cool hot rods, and then just like 50 really nice bagger bikes, and it was quite the scene watching them pull in. You know, it was like all these hot rods and bikes and all the noise and everything, and it was cool. And
yeah,
Pete would have been proud because he would have been, yeah, man, this
did
is
did you roll up in your
badass?
Camino?
No, I actually
wait. The El Camino is the one with the front engine accessory issue.
I got it tore apart. I'm getting it fixed. I'm fixing it a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
I've got some projects I'll tell you
Having
about.
It torn apart doesn't surprise me.
So, but anyways, Pete would have been proud because it was a badass roadhouse, wood floors. Dave and I
Pete
met
Jr.
up out
was
there.
Driving
he was driving
green
Pete's
car.
Green car. Yeah, he's 27. And so it was cool. Pete would have liked it because we were drinking whiskey at 10 in the morning and everybody was hanging out, and it was fun. So hopefully they'll make that an annual thing.
I feel like Dave Merrick's always drinking whiskey at 10 in the morning.
Beer. Starts out with beer.
Yeah.
You know, he's a man seeks adventure kind of guy.
That's right. He doesn't bust out the whiskey until at least 11.
We went for Man Seeks Adventure last week to a place called Golden Road Brewery, which Heather and Dave, Golden, they're telling me all about it. And, you know, don't get yourself wrong. Heather is the female Dave Merrick.
I ran into her on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, over at the place you guys were filming at. She told me we couldn't mention
it. No, we weren't allowed to mention anything.
So, yeah.
I got in trouble last time.
I know. It was I can't mention anything.
Yeah, we can't mention anything. But so. I ran into her on Saturday. Did you guys meet up Saturday or Sunday?
It was Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
And we met up at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Is Golden Road the warehouse thing? Off
yeah,
the
right
freeway?
Off San Fernando, right across the other side of the 137 from you guys.
Yeah, I like that place. It's like a big.
Have you been in there?
Yeah,
it's cool. It's got a really cool
once
vibe.
Or
it's
twice
like,
I've been in there.
It's like an old warehouse with a giant brewery. Yeah, you got to cross railroad tracks. It looks like you're going to the junkyard, and then you come around, and there's a movie place, and then that. But
it's like a big steel building.
Yeah,
it's a steel building. It has a really cool like giant bar in there.
It's got a giant bar, a big outdoor area, and what was weird was rolled in at 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning, and we had talked to the promotions director about coming over to do our podcast, and you think that. She goes, well, we open at 10, so you might want to come then. We can tour you through the brewery and everything like that. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And I thought, we'll be the only ones there. I roll in, and there's, these people getting out of their SUV, this young couple, and they got their two little kids and their dog. And I'm like, what is there, a hiking trail around here or
a
something?
A family that drinks together stays
and
together.
No, they walked in, and there's a corner with kids' toys and stuff, and there's already kids there playing. Mom and Dad are sitting at the picnic table throwing them back, and I'm like going,
wow. I remember some pretty good food there, though.
That's really good food, yeah. And so it was funny, but it got packed. But I got there, and Dave was already there. And he was already telling me about the beer that he had and everything like that. And so I'm getting the lay of the land. Heather shows up, and I come back, and her and Dave are already through one beer. And they're like, you haven't even had a beer yet, Brad? And I'm like, I'm just not a pro like you guys,
It's 12 months ago, Brad didn't even drink beer.
I know. That's exactly what came up on the show is that I didn't even drink beer, and I still don't like it. I'd prefer a whiskey over beer any day.
You posted the Man Seeks Adventure. Episode that I was on from Radwood, and already there were some fan comments were like, that show was a mess, but hilarious.
They said, I've had so many comments that one, did you see the one where the guy goes, dude, I laughed so hard all the way to work. It was the best commute ever.
It was the worst.
We were so drunk.
It was the least professional podcast I've ever done in my life.
And that's why it was so damn funny. But we did this one, where we went to the Radwood car show, and it was at a German Hofbräu and Oktoberfest grounds. So when you got there, they hand you a beer with your ticket, and then when it's empty, they have a guy in lederhosen that comes and fills it up for you. So you're pretty much drunk. And didn't you have that happen to
you? I didn't have that. No, but Dave was buying me beer, so it was
kind of the
same.
He's the guy in lederhosen.
He's the guy in the lederhosen.
But
in the bar, you guys made some terrible drink. It was, I don't know if you lost a bet or what happened, but there's you posted a video, but it's like, there's like three different like shots of schnapps.
Yes.
And they're all flavored?
We thought we'd try the flavored schnapps. It'd be a good theme for the show. They were so vile.
They were terrible.
Oh, my God.
So Dave decides to pour them all into one glass.
To make the drink of the day, yeah. Which we called the Bradwood.
Yeah. And I guess it was sort of... He basically took, like, I don't know, like a strawberry.
It was peach schnapps, cherry schnapps, and raspberry schnapps.
Well, he turned it into passion fruit schnapps.
Yes. Well, he called, what did he call it? The German Mai Tai.
Yeah, he put it all in there. Now, true
unicorn
story,
schnapps.
It was better when they were all mixed together. Still
than
terrible.
Than separate.
It's still terrible.
It was drinkable. It didn't gag you as much. You got to listen to the show because Matt was eating sausage, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
And
whoa, hey, Matt was eating sausage.
There might be pictures of that,
and there are pictures of that, which we'll put up on Shift and Stare. But it was funny. I haven't laughed that hard, so hard that I literally couldn't talk.
Yeah.
And if you want to get an idea, go to Man Seeks Adventure on Instagram and click on the promo video for that show, because all I did was go through and cut out the laughing, where we couldn't even control our laughter. And like, even at the end of the show, we were wrapping it up, and I'm like, and this is meant, you know, because we just couldn't hold it together.
It was a good time. It's probably a terrible podcast, but it was a good time.
Informational?
Yeah.
There's no information, but if you just want to get stoned and laugh, that's the one.
To shift gears a little bit.
Nice transition.
And
that was professional.
And speaking of Dave Merrick, I just spent a week in the Honda Civic Type R.
You told me that, yeah. How was it? Was it red?
Cool.
It was red, and it was fun. I think the audience is like a little younger. It's a little more baby driver audience, you know, with its styling.
How does it compare to like the Ford Fiesta?
So, well, it's a little more like Focus ST.
That's what I meant.
Right?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
So compared to a Focus ST, I think I like this better. Now, when you get to Focus RS, when it's all-wheel drive mm-hmm. and a little more money, you probably go in that direction because this is front-wheel drive. But this car was fun.
Did you do any reverse donuts in it?
I didn't because
it
wasn't my car. But
that's why you do it.
But now, next time. So one of the things, like when they dropped it off, I'm looking at it and I was like, it's a little car with like 20-inch wheels and 30 series tires.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it's going to ride like crap. It did not.
No, they had computers tune
I'm
the suspension.
It's so, you know, I drive this E46 M3
mm-hmm.
and with the supercharger and stuff on it. And I got in the Honda and I spent a week in the Honda. And the clutch was
now,
nice.
Now, instead of the F, nice. Are we going to have the BM mention on every?
No, we're not. The car rode well. It shifted great. The clutch felt great. And those were the standout things for me, because as soon as I got back into this BMW, I was like, holy shit, this clutch is so heavy. And it shifts for crap. And the ride is so, like, all the mods that were done on that car, on the BMW, like 15 years ago, are terrible. And now I've got to go back and change them all, because there's a Honda Civic Type R out there that's 100 times better, you know, at a fraction of the cost. So I liked the car. I'll tell you this, though. The seats are, they've got a lot of bolster and stuff on them.
Are you doing that on purpose?
No.
You said the seats are... Because it's a Type R, you keep saying R.
Also, I'm a pirate. The Civic Type
R. It's a pirate car.
It's a pirate car.
Matey.
The seats have a lot of bolstering in them. So,
comes with a parrot.
I was comfortable. I was snug in there. But if you're much wider than
me. I'd have troubles then. Aaron would have troubles if you were snug.
It gets a little cozy. It gets a little cozy. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. And
along that line, very seriously, how would that be on a long trip? Like, let's say you're going to drive it to Vegas. Would it get uncomfortable?
It might get a little uncomfortable. And again, like, I drive cars like that all the time, even, mm-hmm. you know, the BMW and just the cars that I've been in recently. They all are a little on the rough side, so it's fine for me. But, like, I'm okay with driving the BMW, so this was a luxury upgrade for me, the Type R. But somebody got in my BMW with me, and they're like, you drive this every day? I'm like, yeah. And I realized it kicks your ass, the coilovers that were on that car and all that stuff. So I got to fix all
are
that.
There
– But I drove the Honda, like, from Venice. I had to go do filming in Irvine. Mm-hmm. This is funny. I took the Honda to go film a Mazda commercial.
Hey, look at this.
Yeah.
Are there a lot of electronic features?
Actually, when I drove the Honda Ridgeline, the new Ridgeline, mm-hmm. which I also liked, that had more electronic features. That had all the like lane change stuff, and
accident avoidance,
all that stuff. Yeah. This didn't have as many, but
there a lot of color options?
I don't know that there is.
Are there wheel and tire options?
Pretty much very few options. It's 34,000. I think it was $34,775. And I know, by the way, all cars are expensive these days. That's my feeling on it. All cars are expensive. So a $34,000 car is on the inexpensive side, sort of in my mind. For something fun and high performance like this.
I remember
could throw this car around the track. There's already Magnaflow has exhaust upgrades for it. I think guys like Mishimoto were doing intake testing for it and like differential temperatures. So it's a really cool, fun car. Like if you want to autocross and
it's 34,000.
It is. Now I
paid
said that
15,000 for my 5-liter Fox body Mustang convertible, brand new off the line.
My Cobra new was like 20,000.
Yeah.
I think I have the window sticker for 20,000.
But are there good financing options?
But a Mustang now is a Mustang GT with all the options is 42 grand, you know.
Are there good financing options?
I didn't try to finance one.
I'm just trying to throw in R as many times as I can. So
Now, the dealers are asking markups. There's dealers everywhere asking for markups for them. Yeah, which is odd to me. I think it's a cool car. I don't know that I'd pay the markup for it. I definitely wouldn't pay the markup for it.
I would think the market
not because of the car, but because
to, you
I
know?
Just hate that strategy of giving a dealer free.
Is it limited edition or anything? Or
mine, the one that I drove, did have on the center console, it had the number stamped on it.
So that's why they're justifying the markup. Oh, it's limited run.
But also, it's just, you know, dealers are just known for being.
Yeah, you know, that really surprises me because, you know, I see the ads and the Honda dealers, you know, they're there to help you.
Well, they're not being helpful Honda guys with those markups, that's for sure.
You should call up and go, hey, you know those ads you do? You know how you're always soliciting for people? Well, what I was wondering is, could you get my dealer to drop the damn thing?
Yeah, drop the markup.
Hey, I'm the helpful Honda dealer.
I know when we sat down with Dave Merrick, I had this wacky idea of doing a Ridgeline Type R. And so we took a whole bunch of pictures of the Civic Type R, and my guy at the shop just sort of doodled away and doodled his way to a Civic. I'm going to see if I can find a picture. It's not going to help everybody listening, but there's a picture. he doodled a Ridgeline Type R at home. Check that out.
Okay.
Brad doesn't have his glasses on, so now nobody can see it.
No, I can see what you got going. You got a nice, front air dam, you know, and it's got the big induction like the Type R has, and it's got some, you know, body side cladding and things like that.
So, Brad, being a hot rod builder and a SEMA builder guy, what's it going to cost to make that front end?
About $30,000.
All right. Maybe we're not going to build it.
No, I mean, it might drop down now because there is you wouldn't be able to print that, but you could do a wireframe and have it cut where we used to do everything out of clay by hand, and now you can have a machine that'll do it. But you still got to make a mold.
Like, we still see this on TV. We see it on documentaries. How much does that big clay thing cost and to get somebody to shape it?
You, what do you mean, get what big clay thing? The clay comes in little bars.
Okay.
And you put it in an oven to make it soft. And then they just slab it all. What you do is you put a piece, you glue a piece of foam on first.
Okay.
And you get it roughed in, and it's really rough. I mean, it's just a placeholder. Then you start putting on all the clay, and then start shaping it into the shape. So,
and the clay is it's a thinner layer of clay on the foam, and it allows you to...
No, the clay is usually about an inch thick. Okay. I mean, it's not real thin.
Yeah, but it's not 6 inches.
Right, right. Because if you did that, it would dry out in the back and stuff like that.
So the idea is that you can fine-tune the clay.
Yes, you can keep changing it as much as you can and get a perfect polished surface that you can pull a mold from.
Interesting.
So,
how much does the clay cost? How much is it?
You know what? If you want to do it, I've got a whole entire crate of clay at my shop at home from when I did my last car.
You
can have it.
Of course you do.
No, I'm serious. I do.
Of course you do. Next to the 500 posters you bought from the Outer Works.
Exactly. No, but I look at that all the time and I go, you know, I should really just throw that away because I don't think I'm ever going to use it.
This is the moment you've been waiting for.
I know. You can, Matt, you can inherit it. And what they do is they throw
Matt,
it into a...
It'll fit in your M3 trunk.
Yes.
It'll be the best day ever over at the Fanshawe household. Charlotte, good news.
Something's
I got rid
leaving.
Of all the clay.
No, but it's this big crate. And what they do is afterwards, you can reuse the clay like 3 times. They have a machine.
So I'll give it back.
No. This would be the third time, I'm pretty sure. No, but they throw it in a machine that separates all the foam that was still left in it. You know, it kind of separates it, and it's like cleaning your kitty litter, you know, and
yeah.
You got to get the turds out of it.
And,
but no, and then they put it in the enclave to heat it up, and then they reuse it, and it's
but normally
it's an oil paint, right?
Yeah.
It's not a water clay, yeah.
Normally the process of like molding the clay and all that stuff is like 20 grand, 25 grand.
I used to pay,
clay,
I mean,
clay,
you know, the last car that I did where I did clay was in 2006. And I paid a guy about $12,000 to do a front and rear fascia.
Yeah. So obviously I'm interested in the process. Like I'd like to see it kind of happen in real time. How? You know,
I'll tell you the biggest mistake I made though was...
You did it outside in the sun?
No. I had everything done in my one shop, and you know, I got tile floors in there, and they were pristine because I always had the guys come in and wax them and buff them.
Yeah.
And the clay, first
you didn't
you
put
get,
any plastic down or anything.
Well, no, we did, but you still, people track, you know, and so there was little clay embedded here and there. Well, that was okay. I had the guy come by and do it. Well, then when they did the molds, those guys were the, I mean, I put plastic up the walls. I put it, you know, because they're doing fiberglass, you know, and I'm like, you know, but they use like plaster Paris and all this kind of stuff. It was everywhere. And to this day, my floors are, you know, I never have gotten them back to being shiny again, you know.
Wow.
So it's like.
So I should do it at Corolla's garage?
Do it at Corolla's garage. Definitely.
Oh, definitely.
So,
do it on his carpet.
But, but no, I mean, you can do it. But nowadays, there's literally, you know, there's places. You know, right out here in California where you build the wireframe, they put a chunk in and it just comes in. I mean, they can mill a 1-to-1 car out of clay.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Aaron, have you ever worked with the clay stuff to make car molds or fenders or flares?
He did bobbleheads.
Bobbleheads?
Yeah. And actually, you know, I worked in the film industry for the first.
That's right, you did.
Part of my young career. And so, mold making was a pretty standard thing. I hated it. But we use wet clay, you know, the water clay for some sculpts and oil clay for others, and we made, you know, jackets out of fiberglass, jackets out of stone. You know, we did silicone pours, we did, you know, all kinds of different stuff. So yeah, I've got a lot of experience in that, and I don't like to admit it.
The most amazing thing,
I've got a guy.
Both guys that I used to work with to do all the clay molding and stuff at my shop would be. I'd be standing there with them, and they'd have this beautiful front fascia all done, you know, and it's looking just so sweet. And I'd walk up, and I'd go, you know, Chuck, I really, right here, I want to bring this line a little this way, and I want to open the mouth up a little bit more. And he'd take his knife, and he'd just hack, 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 and I'd go, Chuck, just that one little area. Nah, I'm starting over. And I'd be like, oh, my God. You know, it was like, no, but he goes, it's easier just to start over than to try and change it. And you go, oh, my God, you know, this beautiful thing, you know, it's like craziness. But anyway, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you do that, but there's other ways of doing it, because there are, you can do it with foam and foam and body filler, and you can do it, you know, you don't have to do it with clay. So
I want to do it the less expensive way.
That'd be foam and body filler.
All right, first,
the less expensive way would be to buy one that's already been done.
God, party pooper.
It's a lot of work, man. It is a lot of work.
All right.
And get it symmetrical and get everything like perfect is just...
Oh, he's only doing half the car.
Yeah, I'm going to come up with something. But anyway.
First, anyways.
Let me tell you guys about AMSOIL.
Tell us about AMSOIL.
Yeah, AMSOIL. You know why I like AMSOIL? Because they are a bunch of car people. They're all gearheads, those guys over there. They're into all kinds of power sports, and basically they just get it. They understand it. They get cars, boats, the whole deal. Those guys are super rad. So recently, AMSOIL created a guide to increasing horsepower in your vehicle. It has insider tips from some of the best in the business on coaxing more power out of your engine. And you can get this guide for free. You can get a copy of it at AMSOIL.com/shift. While you're there, you can find out more about AMSOIL synthetic motor oil. You can find out about AMSOIL's signature series motor signature series synthetic motor oil that delivers 75% more engine protection against horsepower loss and wear than required by leading industry standards. So go to AMSOIL.com/shift to get your free insider's guide to increasing horsepower. We'd love for you guys to go and check it out and support us here. So, again, go to AMSOIL.com/shift.
You know, it's interesting about that. We're always talking about increasing horsepower, but you don't ever think about horsepower loss due to friction.
Right.
And so it really does make sense. It's just that same exact thing that we're all trying to get, but just reducing horsepower loss, and that's what AMSOIL does. So everybody go there, support the show by going there and checking out what they have to say, because they're supporting the show here.
Yeah, thanks.
And proper tire pressure.
So our friend Robert Angelo that we love. Our
cameraman extraordinaire.
Yeah, director, producer. Awesome. He's the only guy out there that does automotive content. One. Two Emmys producing this content. He's fantastic. So he calls me up, and as he does occasionally, and he says, "Hey man, I'm doing another commercial. I need a precision driver. Come out and do it." We've done this a bunch of times. And
I thought he said he needed a guy that was exactly your height and weight.
He said, "Can you do reverse front wheel drive donuts?"
And you went, "I can."
I was like, "At Denny's, I can."
between the poles.
So yeah, in close proximity.
Yes.
These we went out and we filmed a bunch of footage for Mazda. New Mazda 6. They announced the Mazda 6 at the auto shows. And I love the way these car companies were able to do this. We got there. Beautiful red Mazda 6. It's a pre-production prototype. Everything looks exactly the way it's supposed to be. You know, new larger screen, 8-inch screen, and a new wood interior. And it's got a new turbo on it, which they didn't have before, and heated and cool seats. Everything was great. The car's going to be like $35,000. It's actually a lot of car for $35,000. But they're like, this one is the hand-built million-dollar prototype.
So be very careful, because everything's fragile.
Be very careful with it. And like, oh, okay. Wow, this is going to go in the museum? No, it's a pre-production prototype with no VIN number. So the rules are when they're done, they have to crush it.
Yep.
So I was like, so we need to be very, 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 very careful so you could crush it. They're like, yes.
Yeah, well, no, it's got to go to the North American
Auto Show first.
Go to
some other auto show first. Yeah. And if you scratch it or rub a rim or something like that, like there's issues. There's issues, especially anything on the paint.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you have to wear white pants and, you know, you can't sit in the car for too long. It creases the seats and, you know.
Was that the first problem? You're like, oh, crap, I don't have white pants. I don't own any.
No, I do, actually. Or, like, you know, like.
Is that still from when you drove the ice cream truck?
Khaki enough that they're, like, khaki, but then years old. So
they don't want you to get in with your brand new indigo blue jeans and leave the leather.
No, you don't want to do that. I don't know why they do this. We went to the LA Auto Show and we saw like a new like Ford F-150 or Expedition or something. Mm-hmm. And the display car had cream seats, cream interior. And when you have 500 people, 1,000 people get in and out of that car all day, it just rubs blue jeans onto that, and it's there. It's not coming off. You just dye those things. Like, don't display with cream interior.
It's not even display. Why even make them? I ordered my Yukon XL with tan interior, mm-hmm. and it shows up, and I guess GMC's version of tan, and Chevrolet, it's a tan, and GMC, it's bone, which is like a very light,
It looks good, though.
It looks great.
Yeah.
Till, like what you said, I got in and out a few times, and I went, oh my God, is this seat already wearing? Yeah. And I look at it, I go, crap, that's the blue off my blue jeans.
It's the blue off
and
your
it's
jeans.
There to this day, man.
Yeah,
it's like,
it doesn't go away. Yeah. You can't do it. Like, there's just no way. You just
impregnates itself.
That's
right
why
in.
I always take my pants off before I get
you,
in the car.
Yeah, I know that you got arrested once for that, but you got off because you explained to him you were just taking care of the seats, right?
I found that the heated and cool seats are more effective without pants. Last time we shot for Mazda, we shot for McLaren. We got to do all the fun high-speed stuff with the drones and the Angeles mm-hmm. Crest and the mountains and all that. And this is a Mazda 6, so the audience is a little different. And, you know, we wanted to do a lot of, like stuff in a neighborhood with, you know, like families walking down the street and at a school. And, you know, so I basically drove 20 miles an hour for 17 hours.
You know? Glamorous, isn't it?
Here's another weird thing where they're like, Mazda is adamant about never having more than like an eighth of a tank of gas in the car. I don't know why. I'm sure there was some miscommunication. They meant like, it can't be at a show with more than that, or it can't be transported with more than that. But I don't know if there's some sort of real tank or not real tank in it, but they're like, you can't have more than like an eighth of a tank. So we go out, we film for 30 miles. You got to come back, put a gallon of gas in. Go out, film for 30 miles, come back, put a gallon. And when I say 30 miles, it's not really that, because there's a lot of like sitting and down. You're sitting in the car. You got the walkie-talkie and the camera cars get staging. You're like, all right, make a U-turn, go. And you pass each other for like a split second. You're like, that was great. Let's do that one more time.
And every time you put gas in it, you're like, please don't spill down the side.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
there was another guy. Like, there was a guy just for that. That was assigned just for that. So it was fun. And but just to give you sort of a sort of behind the scenes look of how this stuff is, it's just all of those, like when you're watching, like you see their social media stuff, or you like you see these car commercials when there's guys like, hey, come on down to so-and-so dealer and we got lease deals for $299 a month on this car, and he's there on his lot and he's got his car there, and then then as he's talking, they cut to like this really nice shot of the car going up Malibu and whatever. So corporate often pays for all that really nice stuff. And then they send it off to the dealers, and the dealers can make their own commercials.
Right, they can cut around it
footage.
And add their
they
stuff
have all
in.
The stock footage. So a lot of what we do is we film all the corporate stock footage, and that's me driving. And the car companies are so cheap in the sense that when you can see me driving, they would rather CGI me out than pay me extra money.
But you know what? Along that lines, they've never wanted the visible, because in their heads, from a marketing standpoint, they don't want the consumer to go, well, I'm not that kind of guy.
That's it. That's exactly it.
Because I was going to bring it up before you got to that. Years and years ago, I did some stuff with GM, and this was before you could CGI. It was before personal computers and everything. It's like in the 80s, and they literally had a special truck that had these, like, I call them dining flies, but, you know, like white fabric flown at the exact angle to cast a perfect, like, reflection on the windshield so that you couldn't make out the driver as it's going down the road.
Now you could just cut me out.
Yep. Yeah, now it's just click, click, click. All right.
Yeah.
You know.
But
that's amazing.
we did a lot of good stuff, but the oddest part about me is, like, I've done this a bunch of times, so I know sort of what all the rules are and where to put the car and how to place it with the camera.
Not to smoke in the car.
Yeah,
and,
not to smoke in the
not
car.
Not to drink and drive.
And there's just a lot of things, like, we know. They're like, you know, the guy in the walkie-talkie's like, go to one, then go to two. And I know it's like, I'm a three-quarter front shot, three-quarter rear shot, and then pass, and then you stop, and you go back, and all that stuff. But every time I'm in it, the most aware you have to be is you need to be the most street legal as you possibly can be in, right? Like, your hands have to be
10 and 2,
and you have to signal with the right amount of time, and you need to stop and stop at the right amount of time, which I never do any of those things, really.
Matt's all, yeah, he's got his seat all kicked way back. Yeah. He's practically laying down. He's got one wrist just kind of over the steering wheel.
I got my gangster lean on.
Exactly. You know, leaning way over on the center console, man, with one hand just barely
I'm
on
like
the steering wheel.
Weaving in and out of the lane, you know.
He shows up at these shoots, Aaron, with, you know those things they used to have you bolt on the steering wheel, you know, just to, you know.
Oh, that ball. The ball.
And they always frown on it. They're, Matt, you can't use that, man.
All the bus drivers had that.
I know.
Yeah.
Remember, they made them illegal because they would come off.
Yeah, so, I don't know why the bus drivers had those things. Because it takes like, it's like 14 turns lock
exactly.
to lock on a bus, and he's got to spin that wheel around. And in a car, by the way, that's dangerous because, like, if you lose control and the wheel spins quickly, then you have this
breaks
knob,
your thumb.
Yeah, breaking your wrist or something. But anyway, it was kind of a fun thing to do, and we love the guys at Mazda, and I kind of dig this the Mazda Miata RF.
Really?
Which is their little, it's a Miata, but it's the little retractable fastback is what they call it. The
okay.
RF is retractable fastback.
That's why they call it an RF?
Yeah, that's why they call it an RF, for a retractable fastback.
It's not really fast? It's
No. That's not what it stands for. So I want to drive one of those, and then just for fun, I want to put somebody in that has no business being in it. So,
Aaron, do you want to come down?
So you already got little cars. Now I'm going to send one over to Goldberg.
Yeah. Goldberg, that'd be awesome. Yeah,
he's like 260, and you know, like 6'3" and 260, or 6'2" and 260, and
he's like about the same size as you. Well, he's an inch tall.
He's literally 100 pounds more than I am, and I want to tell him that. It's like, you have to drive this for a week, and then call me.
And then just follow him with a camera.
Yeah. As he's squeezing it, I was like, you're not allowed to put the top down. You can't Magnum PI your head over the top.
Has he ever been in, like, a Mini?
I mean,
a real Mini Cooper, not the new ones. Like, like Aaron has, the little
new
tiny ones.
Are
they're bigger.
They're bigger. And they got, like, there's a lot of tall dudes. Adam Carolla had one. He's 6'2". Penn Jillette drove one for years. And then he switched to a Leaf.
Yeah. A Nissan to Leaf.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a weird dude, but
that'd be great. You could do a new podcast called Big Guys in Little Cars.
I know, fat guy in a little coat.
There you go.
Yeah, Aaron's not a big guy.
No. That's why he fits in that Mini so well.
190, 195, I don't know, something like that. I've been losing some weight, so.
Well, you better get well again. Start packing it back on.
Well, you've been sick. Probably
no.
So, Aaron, what's next for you? Before we wrap this episode up,
well, I have joined the ranks of Matt there, man. I just picked up a very used
Fox body
03 E46 M3.
Oh,
so I'd love to pick your brain and your parts then.
Okay, yeah. My advice is sell it. No, I'm kidding. Wait, what year is yours?
A 2003. It's a mid-3. Yeah.
And how many miles you got on it?
Oh, it's a lot. It's 157, salvage title, but it's had all the right work done. I got it for $5,000, and I'm driving the shit out of it.
As you should, yeah.
It's my drive the shit out of $5,000 car that I get every couple of years.
Drive it like it was a theft recovery.
Yeah. Drive it like it was a salvage title. Oh, wait a minute. It is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this was my first salvage title car. I'm finding that that's a little more challenging than I expected.
It just depends, because you just never know how extensive the rebuild was.
Do you even have to title a car in Tahoe?
No, it's like no man's land. Up
you don't
there.
Just walk outside and grab whatever's available. Like, it's a nice community and everybody just takes what you need.
Yeah, just keep going to them policeman balls. Yeah.
No, it's, well, that's good. Congratulations. What color is it?
Thank you. It's that really dark metallic black blue. It's real pretty. It's
I got the same
interior
color.
Is mint. But yeah, I'm not a blue guy, but I like the car because it's real subtle. But the interior is mint. I mean, there's not a tear. There's not a bad stitch. There's not a bunch of cracks. I mean, it is really clean. It was hit in the left rear quarter, just fender damage, all been done. It looks really good. It looks really good.
The rear seat doesn't fit anymore because the metal kind of bends in there. But,
it only holds,
and it goes down the street sideways.
It only holds 11 gallons of gas because of the dent. Yeah.
But he already ordered.
Drifts really good to the right.
And he ordered custom plates that say dog leg.
Yeah, there you go. Well, send us some pictures of it.
Well, if you guys show up in the same place together, you might just like accidentally take the other car because same color,
same
BMWs.
Color. Yeah.
Get them mixed up.
No, Matt won't like mine. It's an SMG.
What does that mean? I don't know him.
That's
what?
The paddle shift.
Oh, okay.
But it's a single clutch back in the day. Yeah. Mine's a manual. I'll tell you what, though. I'm thinking about getting some I'm getting some new wheels and tires. If you want a set of wheels, let's talk about it.
You know what? I just picked up a set last night from my buddy. He had them $600 brand new tires and racing wheels. That they're the real wide ones. And they feel the wheel.
What size tire are you doing, front and rear?
I think the fronts are 245s and the backs are 270 or 265s. So 265, 245s. Mm. But
Matt's doing 325s in the rear and 295s up front. The other way.
I was going to do the 19s, but the profile gets so small, that thing hammers you anyway.
Yeah.
So I thought, man, if I put 19s on this thing, it's just going to ride too rough. So I stuck with the 18s.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Let's go to 24-15 on the rear, Matt. We'll get the torch out. We'll get that sucker set up, man.
I'm going to mini-tub mine.
Yeah. We'll do a full back half of the chassis, and we'll get that thing dialed in.
It'd probably run smoother if I did.
I got to tell you, you could stuff the damn water balloons in that front fender. That thing is huge. There's so much room in there.
There is.
Why would you want to put water balloons in your front fender? I don't understand that.
You can run a 265
in the front. It's all I can think of to take space, man.
They would freeze up there where you live.
Yeah, you need those in the winter. Unlike my Mini Cooper, I could barely stick my fingers around that tire.
I got some old coilovers that I hate that I'm going to throw away if you want them.
If you hate them, you sell them on eBay and say how great they are.
And then you can hate them.
Hey, I hated these. Buy them and hate them with me.
Yeah.
I might take you up on that because, see, I have yet to hate them yet.
Yes.
That's right.
You haters.
I want to know what it's like to hate those coilovers.
Actually, you might be okay with these coilovers with changing the spring. These are adjustable.
There you go.
And matter of fact, maybe if you rebuild these, because I don't think they adjust. There's something going on. I think they're supposed to be adjustable, but they...
Do they have threads on them?
Yeah, there's a dial in the front. Actually, inside the car, it's confusing.
Multi-adjustable where you can adjust them from inside the car with fluid?
There's inside the car with a computer controller, but the computer controller is just a thing that sits on top of the coilover, and it spins a little motor. But it doesn't make sense to me because the motor spins one way and the other. But all it does is move a screw up and down. And if the screw goes up, then it hits the motor. If it goes too far down, then the pin on the motor doesn't hit the screw anymore. There's only so much room you can do.
Usually what those do is they release, how much valving there is or something like that.
But I would throw out the motors and then keep the adjustable shocks, the coilovers.
Hire a leprechaun to sit under there and do it manually?
Just do it manually. And then you don't have to do it on the fly.
Hey, Lucky! Come on, I want it a little stiffer. Matt, he's back there. Okay.
Matt, did you order those off eBay?
I did not.
No, he got them off of Wish. Wish.com.
I did not. This was Adam Carolla's car that he had built like a million years ago, and it had never worked right.
There was some guy who went, I hate these things. Well, let's put them on Corolla's car and charge him a bunch for it.
This car doesn't even have 19,000 miles on it.
He's tall. He won't notice.
It's under 19,000 miles.
Man, that's when
you
know.
I'm going to drive it.
Well, I hope so. Hell, you come down here a few times for the show, you'll put on 19,000 miles.
That's what I've been doing. Honestly, when I started driving, it had like 12.5.
Yeah.
Just coming down here, it's put 19,000 miles on the car.
Hey, we got to wrap this episode of Shift and Steer Up, guys. Matt, where can they find us online?
We just got started.
I know.
We just got started. Why are we wrapping already? I want to know more about that supercharger, Matt.
Yeah. Get one. Just don't get it from where Adam got hit.
So, Matt, where can they find us online?
I can't afford one of those suckers.
Check us out at Shift Steer Media on all of our social media. Go to Shift Steer Media on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Check us out there. And shiftandsteer.com. Of course, you can download us. You're listening to us now. But tell a friend. Say, hey, listen to Shift and Steer. Those guys are idiots. They can do it at shiftandsteer.com. They can do it on the Podcast One mobile app. So give us a listen.
Listen up. Tell your friends. And if you're if you're out and about, you see us at a show or a Cars and Coffee or in the frozen tundra of Tahoe or whatever it is, just come up and say hi. Say, hey, I listen to Shift and Steer. And Matt will personally email you a free T-shirt.
If you find us at Barrett Jackson in the next couple of days, Brad will give you 3 free sets of wheels.
Now, come on. See, I'm telling him that you're going to email him a free T-shirt, which we will. We will.
How do you email a T-shirt?
That's just it. We're going to email him a photo of a Shift and Steer T-shirt. Hey, let me get your name. I'll email you a free T-shirt.
Yeah, we're going to be at.
Brad, that's how you roll, man. You roll big like that, you know?
That's right.
Don't say Ottawa. So
wait, I'll go. Oh, damn! You're the fourth guy. I already gave those 3 away.
We've already emailed our 3 quota for the day.
Matt got one. Right. He hit me up the first thing we got up this morning. And then another guy, and then Craig Jackson. They're all gone. I'm sorry,
guys.
Hey, see you. Thanks for listening. I'm Brad Fanshaw
and Matt DeAndrea.
And who's on the other end of that line?
Aaron. The sick man, Aaron Hagar.
Okay. Hey, thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening to Shift and Steer.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.